Hey, I have an important show for you today. We are talking about vaccines and immigration. It's a very important topic. I hope you will help me, my fellow deplorables, and like, share, and subscribe to the show far and wide so people really understand that just because they tell you you have to do something, that may not be true, that there might be an exception or way around that mandate or that law, or you know, so on and so forth, when in regards to immigration. So if you have family that is thinking of immigrating, or you just want to be knowledgeable about this topic, then this show is just for you. Hey, please, I wanted to let you know that right now MyPillow is having a massive sale going on sheets, on the pre-cal sheets. They are cheaper than Walmart right now. If you use my name, Amber, you can get sheets for as low as $29.98. They're high quality MyPillow sheets, American made product, and you can get them from cheaper than Walmart right now. So go to mypillow.com/Amber, use promo code Amber, and get those sheets right now and save a bunch of money. Okay, so like, share, and subscribe. Join me on Telegram because I always carry more conversation there on Telegram, and you can find me at the Amber May Show right over there on Telegram. I am looking for angel investors for the program. If you are able to give $5, $10, $20, $100, please go to theambermayshow.com and click donate. I am really looking to get angel donors. I could use some support. That would be very helpful. Or you can go to theambermayshow.locals.com and become a $5 monthly subscriber there. I have partnered with businesses just like MyPillow to save you money. So what they've done is they've given you a discount with a promo code, and then they help support the Amber May Show. So please go do that. Visit my website or check the links below, and you can find the info out at theambermayshow.com and look at the promo section. While you're there, look at the resources, because I've added a lot of things in regards to child sex trafficking and CPS. So please go look at that as well. So coming up next, I have information that you should know about vaccines and immigration. I am excited to introduce to you Christina Zanetti. She is an immigration attorney, and we're going to be talking about immigration and also about how the vaccines integrate with immigration. So we have a big topic today. Welcome to the program. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here and to talk to you.
I want to get my viewers and listeners a little bit of background about you. So tell me a little bit about you and how you got involved with being an immigration attorney.
Sure. So growing up, I always had a strong passion, attraction towards helping refugees. I think it stemmed from my father was an immigrant to this country, and his family was internally displaced during the 1974 war in Cyprus. So it was something that I kind of like grew up hearing about. And when I was in middle school, we hosted an Iraqi refugee family that had been resettled in the area. So I got to like experience that firsthand. So it was something I was always interested in. And I initially, when I went to college and law school, I thought I was going to, you know, was focused more on international human rights and refugees and asylum. And that's sort of what I was aiming towards. And then when I decided to move to New York City in 2010, and I got admitted to the bar there, I got a job at an immigration law firm. And it sort of was like the perfect melding of those interests, because it was something domestic that was here that I was able to practice in the States with my US law degree. But, you know, I was working with international populations and refugees and asylum seekers and just people from all over. So it still had that like international element to it.
That's cool. You and I have something in common, because my dad was also an immigrant to the US. And so immigration is near and dear to my heart. And, you know, because he did it the proper way, I just feel like everyone should do it that way, because he didn't skip the line. He went through the way he should be going, and he became a U.S. citizen. And so to me, I'm like, well, if my dad did it right, how come other people don't go through the system? So immigration is a topic for me that I'm interested in, just because it directly affected my family too. So that's kind of cool that we have that in common. And my dad was a minister, and so he often helped refugees with his church. So that is kind of something that you and I kind of have in common. I think that's pretty cool. So I want to make sure I get to important topics that you want to discuss and bring to the forefront. And how does it work in the immigration world, especially with the vaccine mandates that they wanted to have on the U.S. citizen, but then you look at the open border and it's just like, it's a free fall. Anyone can come, and there's no checks and balances down there. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So just I want to give like some background about what the requirement is as it relates to immigration, and particularly right now, because I know that's, you know, a hot topic and on a lot of people's minds. So as part, if someone's coming here, right, legally, right, they're trying to adjust their status, they're trying to get their green card, and they're going through the application process with USCIS, which is the immigration agency who you know, adjudicates those applications. There's a medical exam required. And that's been in place for a very long time. And it's based on, you know, just public policy, like not wanting someone who's bringing a contagious disease into the US, right? And if it's something, they're screening for certain things like that. And if it's in 1996, Congress added, they amended the Immigration and Nationality Act to include certain vaccinations for, you know, preventable contagious diseases, as a requirement for getting your green card. And so that's been in place for, well, I'm really bad at math, but since 1996, for quite a while. So that was mainly what's on there, what's written into the law is it's mainly the childhood vaccinations, by and large. There's not much else on there, right? And so there were like nine vaccines, that are written into the law as part of this medical exam that you have to do to get your green card. So historically, I mean, I've been practicing immigration law for 12 years. You know, when it comes time for someone to get their green card, you just tell them, okay, you have to go for this medical exam, and they're going to check your vaccination history. And if you had the childhood vaccines, you're probably not going to need anything. Maybe you need one or two boosters, and you got to take them because that's part of the requirement. And then you'll get your green card. Now, in 2009, the regulation was amended, and it was added because now, of course, there's many more vaccines that are on the market that are available. So the question came up, well, backing up a little bit, in 2008, they added HPV and zoster.
As a requirement
for immigrants. Yeah. And so there
Sorry, I got to stop you for a minute, because I don't know how you feel about vaccines. And for the longest time, I've been very pro-vaccine, but you're talking about the HPV vaccine that has caused so much harm to people. I mean, I got a list of ingredients. You can't see it because of my background, from the website. And I'm looking at these ingredients, and these are the childhood vaccines. And I'm just like, are you serious right now? This stuff is going into our bodies. I mean, there are animal parts in here. There are toxic chemicals in here. There's things that would violate a lot of people's religious rights. But I mean, the Gardasil vaccine, that one is a very dangerous vaccine, and that's mandated or?
Well, so it's not anymore. So good. What happened was in 2008, they added it to the requirements for immigrants. And there was, I mean, this was before I was practicing immigration law, but I've read about it. It appears that there was quite an uproar by immigration attorneys and advocates for immigrants, because also it was only being mandated for women, I think like 18 to 26 or 16 to 26, like who were in that window. So it was also like a little bit discriminatory, because it was like, it's not required for everybody. And Anyway, there was a big uproar about it at the time, and kind of like, you know, there was always, there's these standard ones, these like childhood vaccines that were written into the law. And then they started adding these. And so then people said, well, if they're adding these, then how do we know they're not going to add more? And
that's true.
Future, right. So they codified a law. They amended, you know, the Federal Register to say that when they, to set forth the criteria for adding or removing vaccines from this medical exam for immigrants in the future. And what it is, I'll read it to you. It's that first, the vaccine must be age appropriate as recommended by the ACIP for the general US population. And at least one of the following, the vaccine must protect against a disease that has the potential to cause an outbreak, or the vaccine must protect against a disease that has been eliminated in the United States or is in the process of being eliminated in the United States. So that's the criteria for, you know, these sort of like public health emergencies or outbreaks of contagious diseases, that's the standard. And so after that, in 2009, they actually removed HPV and zoster from the requirements. But now we saw in 2021, they added COVID-19 based on this provision. And so now for about almost the last year, you know, coming up on October 1st, USCIS has required the COVID-19 vaccination as part of this medical exam for anyone who's, you know, trying to get their green card, essentially their residency in the United States.
And how do you feel about that particularly?
Well, personally or legally, I don't know, it's two different things.
It's both. I mean, you're a human being, and then how does that affect your job?
Yeah. Well, so I will say, you know, like I referenced before, I had been practicing for many years, and it really didn't come up that often that someone just didn't take whatever they were supposed to take and move on, you know?
Right.
Occasionally I had, you know, a few people say, I actually don't vaccinate at all, and I want to, you know, to get out, you know, to ask for a waiver or a medical exemption. But it was few and far between. And then all of a sudden, there was like a flood of people calling and saying, you know, I'm at the last stage, I'm about to get my green card, and they told me I have to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Like, is this true? And so that's where, you know, like the immigration practice and Siri Glimpse's practice sort of like merged into this like perfect melding, where we were able to say, like, we can help you because there is a waiver available. There's a few different waivers, but the main one that people are needing to do right now is the waiver based on religious beliefs and moral convictions. And that is something that has always been available. It's always been there. So it's not new. It's just that people don't really know about it. They don't know they have the right to ask for it. Quite frankly, a lot of immigration attorneys don't even know about it, because it's not something that ever really came up, you know?
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Hey, so when you are a guest at the Amber Mae's house, you get luxury. And how you get luxury is I have this sleeping couch, this sleeper sofa, and you're telling me that's not luxury. It is when you put a MyPillow mattress topper on it. All my guests that have come over and stayed at my house have really enjoyed this sleeper sofa, which says a lot because they're getting to sleep on the MyPillow pillows. And you get the MyPillow mattress topper, and then it doesn't stop there with the luxury, because when you shower at the Anna Mae Show's house, you get to have a MyPillow towel. I don't have the kids using it. I just let the adults have the luxury, so the adults get to use the MyPillow, and they're phenomenal. And right now, there's a massive sale going on with the MyPillow towel. So you should really put luxury into your home and live it every day like Amber Mae does every day. So I have a MyPillow mattress topper on my bed. I use the MyPillow sheets, the MyPillow towels, MyPillow slippers. I live luxury, and I don't have to pay the luxury price because MyPillow has promo code. So use my name, Amber, and save up to 66% off, and you can live luxurious as well. So many of us think that sleep is a luxury. Sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is a necessity. It's going to help you restore all your bodily functions, help your body recover, recoup. It's something that we need to function on a daily basis. We need to feel restful. And if you're not feeling restful because you're not getting a proper night's sleep, then I have something just for you. I just absolutely adore Dr. Stella. She comes out with some great supplements. And here's one of the newest ones she came out with, and it's Kobe Sleeps. So if you have trouble going to sleep at night and you want a more restful night's sleep, go to drstellamd.com, go to her supplement section and purchase this and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and you'll save some money there. Not only does it help promote a more restful night's sleep, it helps with stress and joint function. So if you have stress, you have joint function, you're also not getting a good restful night's sleep, you need to go to drstellamd.com, get these Kobe Sleep Bites right now, and save money by using promo code AmberMay. Are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
Or you didn't have to do it in your daily practice. So it's not, you know, there's so much, and immigration law is so vast and so big. There's so much to know. And so a lot of people started calling the firm and saying, you know, like, my immigration attorney told me I have to take it and there's no other option, or my case is going to get denied. And we're saying, no, there's a waiver available. Like, we can help you, you know, overcome this. So, you know, that's what we've been doing. And
let me ask you, what are you writing down for religious exemptions on this? What are the things? Because I found out my life changed with the COVID vaccine. Okay. I was pro vaccine. I did it for my kids. Only because, like, I knew there was parents out there that was talking about vaccine injured, and they were talking about autism and different other vaccine injuries. And I'd go to my physician and I'd say, are these vaccines safe? And he would say, yes, they're absolutely safe. I said, but these moms are saying that the childhood vaccines are causing issues for their children. Oh, no, that's not true. Okay, well, I trusted him because he was the medical expert. And honestly, with the way the world is and how busy you are as a person with, you know, your job and your family, who's going to take the time to look at these ingredients? Come now 2020 and the COVID vaccine, and then all of a sudden people are having crazy reactions and death surrounding these, and myocarditis and double vision and headaches and all kinds of stuff. I was like, wow, okay, maybe these moms with the childhood vaccines were actually saying the truth, because you look at the VAERS report and, like, it shot up. And so it's an experiment. This was all an experiment. And so it makes me upset to think that they would mandate this experiment. And then I find out abortal fetal cell tissue. Project Veritas did a whole thing on uncovering what was going on in the pharmaceutical world, and they had a whistleblower and said, yeah, they use abortal fetal cell tissue in the vaccines. And I'm like, oh, this is terrible. To me, that is my religious exemption, because I don't I don't believe in that, and I don't want that in my body. Is that the religious exemption? Is there other religious exemptions that you guys help write with these with your clients?
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, like you, the whole situation with the COVID-19 vaccines, it really woke a lot of people up, right? They wanted to learn about this vaccine because it was being mandated and kind of like pushed on people. And then, you know, some people have gone a step further and said, well, hey, what about the other vaccines? And then they're like, oh, wow. Right. You know? And so then you learn all this stuff, like what's in there. And, for a lot of people, it is against their beliefs. And it's not only the aborted fetal cell lines, which is a big one, you know, for a lot of people, but, a lot of the other stuff is not good either. And it's a violation of certain tenets of certain, you know, people's beliefs or moral convictions. And so the standard for this waiver, I mean, they have to be well written, obviously, and it is adjudicated on the paper, right? There's no interview or anything. It's just you submit a statement explaining what your beliefs are and what your objections are, and you can support it with documentation or not, but that's what it's decided on. So it has to be very well written and well drafted and clear to get your point across, right? But the standard isn't too, you know, terribly high, because what USCIS is trying to do is they're trying to balance, like the fact that our country was founded on, you know, one of the founding principles is religious freedom. And that's why a lot of people still come to this country. Right. Like, I know it's become like so political and so right. like left and right now, but I mean, it really is. And it's actually quite, it's kind of heartwarming to see like all these people from all different like walks of life and faiths mm-hmm. and backgrounds, and they have faith in something. You know, it's not the same God. It's not the same religion, but they have like good moral convictions, you know, like a solid foundation. And it's like, yes, this is the person. These are the types of people that you want in this country, mm-hmm. right? So the basis for the waiver, what USCIS is looking at, is you have to demonstrate that you're opposed to vaccination in any form, which essentially means you're declining all vaccination. You can't say, well, I'll take the flu shot, but I'm not taking mm-hmm. COVID, right? You have to object to all of them. Mm-hmm. And then you have to demonstrate that your objections are based on your religious beliefs or moral convictions. And a lot of times those overlap for people, but you have to explain, you know, whatever your religious belief or background is. And then you have to demonstrate that it's sincere, right? So you can't be saying, I'm a Christian, my body is a temple, I don't want to put unclean ingredients in my body, but I smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Right. Okay. So what is your body a temple or not? Like,
yeah, you have to live your life by these tenets, and you have to explain that, like explain what you do in your daily life that's not related to vaccination, but then tie it back to vaccination. Right. And so, I mean, the firm has helped people of all faiths and people of no faith. I mean, you don't have to be a member of an organized religion. Certainly the religion itself does not have to have taken a stance against vaccination, which is a misconception that a lot of people have. They're like, well, the Pope said to take the vaccine, so that means Catholics can't get an exemption. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, that's not what the standard is. So it's really just focusing on whatever your beliefs are, because you can have your own beliefs and tenets that you live your life by, and that's your religion, right? You don't have to be a member of a church.
Right. No, it's true. Yeah. I could see that argument because of this individual sending me this, and it's from the government website of the childhood vaccines, going back to that. Mm-hmm. That is part of your immigration thing. There's an ingredient called thermosol in there. I looked up thermosol. Let me tell you what the CDC says about thermosol. Thermosol is a mercury-based preventative that has been used for decades in the United States in multiple dose vials. Mercury is poisonous to the human body. They also have formaldehyde in here. Again, poisonous to the human body. They have poisons that are going inside of human beings, along with different animal parts and the abortifetal cell tissues. And I haven't even began to look at all the things that they put into these vaccines. I would never give my kids a dose of mercury. Remember those mercury thermometers that we used to have?
Yeah, yeah.
It was scary. Like, if those broke, you know, you had to handle those with care. But yet they're putting that in our bodies. Another thing, monkey kidney cell, calf serum. I mean, it's like, once you start looking, you can't unsee, you can't go back into the matrix once you've seen what is in here. And so I guess I'm using this show as an opportunity to kind of educate the people on, you need to really look at the ingredients before you just say, okay, go ahead, shoot me in the arm. Because you know what? We've trusted our medical professionals up until this point. And I'm not saying the doctors are doing anything nefarious. I think they were educated poorly on this subject matter. Because do they really know what's going inside of these vaccines? And I'm going to guess they probably don't. Because if they found out mercury's in them, and formaldehyde's in them, and monkey parts are in them, and abortifetal cell tissues in them, maybe they would take a different approach to their patients. So I'm going to go on a guess here that probably in medical school, they don't dive deep into some of this stuff. And I don't feel like I had informed consent when I was giving my children the vaccines. They didn't tell me these ingredients were in there or explain the ingredients that were in there. And so therefore, am I really making an informed medical consent? No. If you find these ingredients that are in your in your vaccines and then you still wish to take the vaccine, that's fine. You now know what's in it. You can weigh the pros and the cons, and then you can decide for yourself if these are for you. But after looking at some of these ingredients, and after what I saw with the VAERS report with COVID-19, I no longer trust these pharmaceutical companies that are going to provide these vaccinations. It's grown since you and I have been kids. I mean, the ones that we had to take as children were far less than what we have to give our children. I don't know if you have any kids, but it's there's such an increase, a growth. It's like, is it ever going to stop? What's the reckoning? How come our kids have to have a hepatitis shot? Are they going to be doing needles and drugs at the a, as babies or toddlers? That doesn't make sense to me. Now that I think about it, why is hepatitis given to our kids? Hepatitis is to prevent, maybe if you have an issue with, affecting the liver. But if you're not doing certain aspects, then especially children, why are we giving them hepatitis vaccines? I'm sorry, I went on a little tangent here, but if this topic's been a new thing for me. And now that I'm finding out about it, it kind of fires me up a little. So, what do you recommend for people who want to come to our country? Do you think it's best that they go through an immigration attorney, or do you think, they could do this on their own and they'd be fine? Like, what's your recommendation? Because I don't know that my dad went through an attorney. I don't know about your father. I think he was helped by a physician, actually. He was a missionary doctor. Well, he wasn't always he went on mission trips as a doctor. He practiced here in the States, and he brought my dad back, and he helped my dad through. But I don't know about your father and how that worked out, but what do you recommend? What's the best way, if you're going to deal with immigration, how is the best way to approach this whole thing?
So, I mean, I think a lot of people who are doing, especially family immigration, which is where you have a family member that's petitioning for you, a lot of times they do try to do it on their own because it's fairly straightforward if you have a clean case and no negative prior immigration history, right? If you're going to apply for this waiver, though, you really should get an attorney to help you with the waiver part at least, because the waiver, it's a ground of inadmissibility, right? When USCIS is looking at your application for a green card, they have a whole list. It's like 3 pages of like a million questions of grounds on which you could be found inadmissible to the United States, right? Are you a terrorist? Are you polygamous? Do you gamble? Do you engage in prostitution? All these things. Have you ever violated, like your criminal history? All these questions, right? To make sure that you're allowed. And one of them is the medical exam. So if you don't take the required vaccines, you're inadmissible to the United States. Your green card application will be denied unless you get granted this waiver. So the stakes are high, and it's like I said before, it's decided on the paper, so it's got to be written well. It's got to include all the right information, to make sure you're conveying what your beliefs are and connecting the dots for USCIS. And you got to make sure you're not including certain information too. So, I highly recommend getting an experienced attorney for the waiver. And it applies to people who are outside the United States, who are applying to come in, like they're not here and someone's petitioning them. You can file it from outside the US, or it applies to people who are here, and who are filing it.
Hey, I'm gonna get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm gonna take a quick break.
It's because of a mutual friend of ours that I was actually connected with you. Michael, the artist, the commander's artist, he's a friend of yours, and he's done some work for you. He's designed the logos of on this show. And the commander's artist he's a great guy, isn't he? He speaks very highly of you.
Now, Michael is a terrific American patriot, and if anybody, I hope that you will promote his website and him. He does the artwork that he does is very, very patriotic, and one of my sort of big things with Michael is Michael came into my life through this political persecution journey that my family and I went through. And he stepped up in a big way to help us raise some money for our legal defense. And Michael and I have become very good friends, and he's a terrific faithful man, and I love him.
What if I told you that there was a beauty product that also helped block fat? Would you be interested? I know you would, because it's something I'm interested in. The older I got, the more wrinkles that are showing up on the forehead, under the eyes. I got this Timeless box. It's amazing because the oil goes on after I clean up my face. The oil goes on and it helps with wrinkles. It helps with any kind of skin issues you might have. It's great for deterring insect bites. You gotta try it. It's amazing at that. And it's super easy. You just put it on your face and it just helps with any kind of skin issues you might have. Not only does the oil do that, but it also blocks fat. So put a dropper in your mouth right before you have a meal and you could be stopping fat right before the get-go. So if you want to lose weight and you want to have a beautiful looking face, or if you have skin, anything, a skin that you're just like, I don't like this, then get the Timeless Pack at thetimelesspack.com. Use my name, Amber May. Use promo code Amber May and save almost half off on the Timeless Pack. So that's thetimelesspack.com. Promo code Amber May and save some money for getting your wrinkles and fat loss.
You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
So I do. I mean, and my main point today is you know, to echo what you said, like just to make sure this population is aware, like has informed consent, like there is a waiver available. You don't have to take them. Like they will tell you, you have to take them. The civil surgeon will tell you that. Your immigration attorney will probably tell you that. Everyone will say you just have to do it. Like it's the requirement or you're not going to get your green card, but it's not true. And we've actually had really good success with the waivers. We've filed a lot of them and we've had a lot of approvals, which is good. Cause in the beginning I was nervous. I was like, oh, is USCIS just going to deny all of them because they've been given some order just to deny all of them. But then the approvals started rolling in, which means they are looking at them. They are, you know, giving them the fair opportunity that they're supposed to, of course. But you know, I was just worried.
It sounds like your law firm is amazing, because I got to speak to an attorney that helped with vaccine injuries, and now you're helping with these exemption forms. I think that tell me about your, because I don't know much about your law firm. Tell me about your law firm. I'd like to know a little bit more. What else do you guys do? And why do you do the things you're doing? Because I am proud of you, because now that 2020 woke me up, now I can feel like I'm making a better choice for myself and my family. And if people still want to get the vaccine after they look at this, fine. I don't care at that point. I mean, but I don't think the majority of the population knew the stuff that's inside of these things.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's about, you know, hoping that you can help educate people and then at least telling them there's an option if you don't want to take it. But if you look at it and you do, then okay. Right. But just so that people don't feel like forced, mm-hmm. right? That they have no choice,
right?
You know, that there is legal recourse in many things, you know, with work and school and with immigration as well. So I don't know that I'm the best person to ask about like the history of the firm. That would probably be a better question.
No, you don't have to do the history, but like, tell me about it, because you guys are doing great work for people.
Yeah. So, I mean, the firm, you know, was helping with vaccine injury. I know Jessica Wallace has been there for a while and has been working in that practice area, you know, before COVID. And I don't know if you ever saw that famous deposition of Stanley Plotkin. Have you ever seen that?
I don't know. I don't know that I have.
So it was Aaron Seary, the managing partner, who was conducting that deposition, which I had seen that deposition like years ago.
Is this Aaron Seary's law firm?
Yes.
I did not realize that. I did not put the two together. Why? Or maybe I knew about it and forgot. Because I'm getting a lot of bombardment of information and stuff mm-hmm. has to fall out. You know, I can't keep it all in my brain.
Yeah.
Wow, how cool is that? So you are working with Aaron. I probably knew that and it just probably escaped me.
Yeah. So, and then I only realized it, you know, like after I started working at the firm, I was like, oh my God, that was Aaron.
Duh, the name says it all, Siri. The Siri, you know, because I keep going back to, "Hey Siri, give me the weather for," like, that's what I'm going, like, that's what was in my mind. I'm like, oh, now I feel like an idiot because I probably knew that information and it just slipped out of my brain. That is so cool you're working with
And
him.
so, I mean, last year, and then I think the firm helped people with exemptions, religious exemptions, also again before COVID, right? Because there were people, there's certain states that have stricter requirements for school-age children, right? And they don't have the religious or philosophical exemptions available. And so, you know, we would help people in those states get exemptions for school, and sometimes, well, work wasn't really an issue until COVID, I think, but that practice just exploded in 2021, because that's when all the mandates started coming out, right? For school, for college, for work, for everything. And so then, like, the firm just got completely bombarded with people wanting to file religious exemptions for all of these, you know, different situations. And so that practice has also, you know, kind of exploded as a result of the COVID-19 situation, and then the immigration, you know, came after that. And so it's just been like,
That
yeah.
is so
I
incredible,
mean,
because he's been one of those few attorneys that are out there fighting the good fight, because there's other attorneys out there that I've come across, but they're few and far between that are willing to roll up their sleeve and get in the fight. And some of them, like Thomas Renz, like, I've had conversations with him where he's just so beat down and wore out because he's only one man and all these people are trying to get a hold of him to help that get their loved ones out of hospitals, or help with religious exemptions, or help with different other things related to COVID. And the man is trying so hard to save the world, and he's doing a great job being by himself. But you can only do so much as one individual. And so then, if you have an attorney like Aaron Seary and yourself, and others that are working alongside him, I mean, it helps, because then you guys can help more people in these realms and help get victories for these people. So it's great. I mean, I'm proud to know you, that you're willing to help these people protect their religious beliefs and not have to take that COVID vaccine. Now they're saying every year, it's still an EUA, as far as I understand. It's still an emergency youth authorization. And they didn't want us to know about ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, because that would take away their emergency use authorization, because there couldn't be any other treatment out there for if you're going to use a vaccine, and I don't even call it that because it's an experiment, as an EUA. And so they would hide this information, and then there was other doctors there said, "Hey, you can use budesonide, you can use ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, vitamin D, zinc." I mean, there was all these other therapies out there, but our federal government wanted to get paid, because Dr. Fauci was part of Moderna and had patents on this vaccine, and he gets, according to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he gets $150,000 a year for all his patents, per patent. So this is a lot of money. So our it's a thank God for you, because our regulatory agencies have now been corrupted because of money. I don't know why they're able to patent medication. They shouldn't be, because they should be regulatory agencies protecting the US population. But now they're patenting, now they're making money. So why wouldn't they put this on all of us? Because at the end of the day, the bottom dollar matters for them. They want to get paid. So they weren't going to get paid for ivermectin. They weren't going to get paid for hydroxychloroquine. They weren't going to get paid for vitamin D. They were going to get paid for the COVID-19 vaccine. So they disinformation out there saying these are horse medications. They don't work, even though they've been around for decades, even though they won awards, even though they are very safe and a lot of countries have them on the shelves as over the counter. We can't know about that. Sorry, this topic gets me on a little soapbox. I'm sorry, but it really does, because now we're affecting people's daily lives. Now they can't get, you know, once they got injured, a lot of these injuries, like Guillain-Barré, I think you can get over that. I'm not sure, but Guillain-Barré is one of those things that happened with COVID-19. Your life is different now. You know, you can't go back to how it was. You're now living with a disability. You're now living, I mean, there's Bell's palsy. Yes, you can get through Bell's palsy, but sometimes you can't. Sometimes it's permanent damage to your nerves. Some people get over it and some people don't. I've known people who have recovered from it. I've known people who have not from Bell's palsy. This is another thing from the COVID-19 vaccine. So if you can get that medical exemption from an expert who knows how to word it, get that medical exemption. Because I don't want you to have those. I don't want you to have myocarditis, Bell's palsy, Guillain-Barré, double vision, headaches. I don't want you to have these issues. And so you need to see an attorney. What's the website that we can send our people to so that they can get the help?
Sure. It's www.SIRILLP.com. Our firm's name is Siri Glimstad.
And, so it was a combination of Aaron Siri and this other person. They came together and joined forces.
Yes, but they had the firm, I mean, long before this happened. Yeah. 11, 12 years.
Sorry, I took over the show today. I'm sorry about
it's okay.
that. I'm really sorry. I don't want to miss anything important that you want to say, because I get fired up about this stuff. So I don't like I'm going to give you this time. You take it away. I want you to get this really important info that you wanted to come on the show and share with people, because it's important what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you. I think we covered, I mean, the main things, like I said, I just want to get the word out there to people. A lot, you know, it might not be the actual immigrants who are watching this, but they might have a family member who's going through the process or knows someone, and they don't know where to turn to. So I want people to know that this is an option for you. It's, you know, we're happy to help you. It's available. There's a good chance it'll be approved if you work with a lawyer, you know, who knows what they're doing and can help you. I think that's about it. I mean, okay. You don't have to be, you don't have to be a member of a religion. Oh, one other thing that I wanted to say, that's, it's a common misconception that people have, is if they've had any vaccinations in the past that they won't qualify. A lot of people will say that, well, I don't qualify for it because I was vaccinated as a kid, or I received some vaccines in adulthood. That's not part of the standard, right? You need to explain any prior vaccination, because it's part of your explaining what your religious beliefs and moral convictions are. So maybe they've changed, like you. Like me several years ago, like a lot of people, right?
You did too. You changed as well.
I mean, when my first child was born in 2016 was really kind of like the first time that I was faced with the issue, right? Because as a healthy adult, I didn't really ever need any, or, you know, I didn't have, it wasn't something that personally affected me very mm-hmm. much in adulthood, right? But, when our first child was born, that's when I started, you know, to question it, and then started to look into it, and then learned, and then was like, okay, nothing.
Were you questioning it because you've seen something, or you just wanted to make a really good informed decision? Because I didn't, this is where I get upset, but everyone's like, you need to forgive yourself, you know, because our kid is what we have. You and I both have a child the same age. And I'm relying on my pediatrician to give me the best advice for my kid, because they go into this livelihood to protect people, to help people. And just because they promote these vaccines, I'm not saying that they're evil people. I just don't think that the medical schools are properly educating on the subject. They propagate, oh, these vaccines, look at all the things that they've done. Good. Okay, maybe, sure, I'll give you that. But also look at the other things that they've done. And in the book with Robert F. Kennedy, he goes into the differences now in health issues that have risen over the years from when he was a child versus you and I being children to our children. So, like, was it just being an educated parent, or did you, like, see something?
So for me, it was actually my husband, who was the one who initially was hesitating and saying, I don't think we should do this, or we should at least not do it right away. We should delay. I just didn't know anything about it. And I was like you, where I was like, I just, the doctor says you take it, so why wouldn't you take it? Like, mm-hmm. Whatever the doctor says, you do, like, they know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Right. And then what started to make me kind of question things and start and then start to do like my own research on it was we were living in New York City at the time. And, you know, we had our pediatrician and, you know, we go in and we said, we want to delay. We didn't say we don't want to do them. We just said, we want to delay. We don't want to do them, you know, at the 2 months. And every visit we went to, we're like, we still want to delay. And then one time we went in and we asked some, you know, pointed questions, and just the reaction and the almost like the vitriol that we got from the doctor when you start to question it, then that made me be like, well, what's going on here? Why, you know? And then I started to learn more and understand, you know, all of the dynamics at play. And with, you know, childhood vaccinations too, you have to keep in mind that for most pediatricians, you know, it's like you said, follow the money, because they get compensated for how many vaccinations they give. And so
that I didn't know. Ooh.
If you don't, you know, if all of a sudden for a mainstream pediatrician, all of a sudden a bunch of people are declining, like that's money directly out of their pocket. So,
it's not just Dr. Fauci who gets paid. It's not, see, this whole thing, let me talk about this subject for a minute, because I get nervous to talk about CPS and medical kidnapping, because there was a Georgia senator in the early 2000s who got murdered for exposing this. But you have to follow the money. So we know the corruption of the CDC, the FDA, the NIH when it came to COVID. Okay, they got, the hospitals were getting bonus money for COVID positive cases. Then if they got remdesivir, which failed medical trials, but Dr. Fauci is probably friends with Bill Gates and George Soros, who own that particular medical company. So they push remdesivir that shuts your kidneys down and then you essentially drown. And then they put you on the vent. So then you got a bonus for being on the vent. And then you got the hospitals got a bonus for your COVID death. It was so backwards. They got bonuses for killing people instead of getting bonuses for making people live and getting them out of the hospital as quick as possible. Now let's take this to CPS. There are laws on the books, and this happened in the 90s, where states will get bonus money for adopting out children out of the foster care system. Now that sounds great, but now let's go to what we just talked about. Your doctor gave you a funny face. Your doctor started pushing back. You go to a hospital, and as a parent, and you could see this in places like Baby Cyrus, that was a big news segment out there. And you start saying, I don't feel comfortable with this medical treatment. The doctors then say, you're out of the hospital, we're trespassing you out. You go back in, find your kid, move to a different floor, and now CPS is in control of your child. You just lost your child to medical kidnapping because you didn't want to do what that doctor said at the time. Now, I'm not saying all doctors are like that, but it happens. And it happens. And we found out here that some of the hospitals, some of the children hospitals are getting paid from CPS. And so, again, you follow the money. And what is meant to be good can easily be corrupted by the transfer of money. So now I'm finding out from you that it affects the bottom dollar of the physician. Now, again, they're probably trained that these are the best things on earth and we have to do these because otherwise mankind's going to have all these kind of diseases. But I trust a God who gave me an immune system to fight me. And I trust a God who gave me vitamin D and vitamin C and zinc. And I trust that God, you know, with my health. Not that don't go to doctors at all. I'm not saying that. But when you look at all the childhood vaccines, and then you look at the ingredients, why am I going to put mercury in my kid? Why am I going to put formaldehyde in my kid? Why am I going to put monkey kidney cells in my kid? You start finding out about these things that are poisonous to the body, and then you have to question that. You have to question that. So that's interesting that you found that out about, I didn't know that. See, I love learning from experts and other people who have done research. This is fascinating to me.
Yeah. So I want to just get back, like the point was, we started on that tangent because about getting prior, you know, having prior vaccination, you can still apply for this waiver, right? We had one that was approved where a lot of people don't know that this exists. They don't have informed consent about their rights. So a lot of immigrants took prior doses, right? And because they didn't know, And then COVID got added, and then they had to like update it. And then they came to us and they're like, well, I just did my medical for immigration last year and I got a booster for Tdap and I got the flu shot. Now what? Guess what? We did the waiver and it was approved. Because you just have to explain what you're, what you believe today. It's not what you believed last year or 2 years ago. You could have had a religious awakening. You could have moved in, your faith has deepened. You've grown, you've moved closer to God, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You just have to explain that. You know, and there's, as long as there's no evidence to the contrary, like why you would be making this up, you know, USCIS should grant that. And so I just want to make it clear to people that even if you've had vaccines in the past, and even in the recent past, it can make it more difficult, but it's certainly not impossible. And we've gotten those cases granted. So
you have to look at the good in everything. And I'm grateful on one hand for COVID. I'm grateful on one hand for this vaccine, the shot. I call it the shot, because it did teach me a lot about stuff. And now I feel better about making a better decision. And I hope that, my hope in all of it is that people who listen to the show make better decisions for themselves. It's, we should be a land of freedom, and you should be able to do with your body as you please. If you want a shot, get the shot. If you don't want the shot, you should be left alone. We're about freedoms, not about dictatorships. And what was meant for good can easily be corrupted with the exchangement of money. And thank you for what you did. And I appreciate you so much for coming on the program today and dealing with me as I got fired up about
this conversation.
Because like this is one of the reasons I started the show. One of the many reasons. I mean, God told me to do it, but then I picked certain topics that were important to me that I wanted, as I was learning stuff, I wanted to share, because it's not going to be on Fox. It's not going to be on CNN. It's not going to be on MSNBC. So as I'm learning, I'm just trying to pass the information, because then other people will learn and they'll share it and they'll share it and so on and so on. So now we know about this immigration and that it's not a be all end all. You do have rights, and these attorneys are happily able to help you through it so that you can preserve your religious and moral beliefs and feel good about it coming into this country and feeling good that you made good decisions for yourself. Thank you so much, Christina, for coming on the program.
Thank you.
In today's world, you never know what's going to happen. I want to make sure you are prepared. So I want you to stock up on food right now. And the way you can do that, the easiest way to do that is go to theamermayshow.com. Look at the resources. You can have a full supply, full of food in your pantry, ready to go in case of a job loss or convoys, supply chain issues, business being shut down, war, whatever it is, you're prepared. So go to theamermayshow.com, click the resource tab, and get your food supply today. Do not wait. Get it today.